Welcome to Shaken and Stirred, a James Bond rewatch podcast for diehard 00s and franchise first timers alike. My name is Evan Atkinson, and I am joined in this year of our Lord 2023 by my wonderful co-host, Alex Doherty. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing swimmingly.
Swimmingly?
In the new year.
Wow.
Same Bond, doing well.
Did you make any resolutions?
Oh, I made a psychiatrist appointment. That was my
That's
resolution.
Big. Yeah. I went to the dentist and the doctor today.
Wow, we're really getting these out.
You know, I'm feeling good. I'm in the prime of my life. I'm currently kneeling to record this, and actually I feel like my knees are going to give out, so maybe that's not the case.
I feel like you could give it a light sit.
No.
Okay.
I'm so focused right now. I've never been more like tuned in.
Brand new exercise.
Everybody get on your knees. It's the only way to pray.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching 1999. It's Y2K energy.
Ooh-hoo.
1999, so the world is not enough. I don't know how it can get more Y2K than the fucking DVD intro for the last one. You remember that with the microchips?
Oh,
and like the
lots of little phone energy.
That was very Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Microchip in Silicon Valley.
But it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is our third Pierce Brosnan.
Yep.
We gave the last one we watched a 9 out of 10 is the highest rating. We both gave it a 9 out of 10.
No way.
Check the records. World is not enough. 1999. We're afraid of computers. We already took down the media and the internet, I guess, in the last one.
True.
What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, it's tough because it's turn of the century. Imagine being people were freaking out at 2012.
True.
Imagine at 2000.
Yeah,
so
imagine
I feel like
something
it's going to be
vaguely,
something like that.
Okay.
I feel like it's going to be quite literally like a massive blowing up of the earth is someone's plan.
An
like,
actual Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we're going to be in the U.S. I think we're going to be in New York. And I
Ooh.
Think we're going to be in France or London, which is obvious.
Okay.
Your turn.
Thank you. I'm sitting down now, looking like a child trying to eat scraps off a dinner table, or more accurately, the family dog. I'm thinking this one is going to be at home. I think this is going to be an England movie.
Okay.
For old Jim Jam. I'm going off the title.
Mm-hmm.
We learn in the Daniel Craig movies that the world is not enough is the Bond family motto. I feel like they did introduce that as a new concept in Skyfall.
Okay.
But I'm like, is this like Bond family values? Is this someone's coming after him?
License to Kill style.
Or is it the world is not enough? Like, I want to take over the world and Pluto, which is still a planet at this time.
Definitely.
So a little more valuable.
And for a while. It has a few years.
That's true. I think it's going to be London. I think the villain is going to be a woman.
Ooh.
You know, representation matters.
Yeah,
and we haven't had a female like main villain since Rosa Klebb in the second movie ever.
True.
And she was still kind of a hench person to Spectre.
Because someone died.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. She Nepo baby.
Literally.
I don't know. I think it's gonna be a woman. As we get further, we're getting more recognizable actors.
Hell yeah.
In this. Who do you want to show up in this? Like who like Colin Farrell is in my heart.
Oh, I feel like we're going to be expecting like a Hugh Grant pretty soon.
Mm.
I would be really excited to see Hugh Jackman.
I would be thrilled
mm-hmm.
if they could get Hugh Jackson there.
Mm-hmm. But I think he's acting at this time. Or sorry, not acting. He's on Broadway.
What if we get like an Ed Norton?
British?
No, just around. Just what if he's, I know, like Fight Club's around this time.
That's true. Wow, that's weird to think about.
We're getting into these
regular movies.
Regular. This is the first one post our birth.
Yeah, this is
or maybe technically
my brother's
second.
Birth.
I'm excited to see what influence we had on this.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely.
Because the world reacted.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how, but the world reacted
the
somehow.
The planet shifted September of 1997.
It's true. It's never been the same. We are going to watch 1999's The World Is Not Enough and come back a little bit more shaken and a little bit more stirred and talk all about it. We'll see you then. We just watched I didn't even look how long this movie was.
It felt like 8 hours, but also an hour and a half.
It felt long to me.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, like, I knew some of the other movies were long, And it did frustrate me. There's an accent. It did frustrate me.
I wanted to die.
But like the Timothy Dalton ones were long, but I was like, I'm engaged the whole way through.
It was violent.
This was long, and I just felt every second ticking by. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I could be doing anything else.
This was at certain like Roger points. Moore long.
Yes.
It was just kind of like...
long and not engaging.
What made me kind of say that it was almost like an hour and a half is that we didn't go to a whole different storyline in the end. Like, what made it almost feel short is that it was almost the same thing the whole way through. Like,
yeah.
We were talking about the same people in the beginning as we were the end, which is unusual.
It was linear.
Mm-hmm. But it still was 2 hours.
Let's talk about the specifics.
Mm-hmm.
We start, Pierce Brosnan is in Bilbao, Spain. He's doing like a bank deal, trying to get some money from some people.
Very spy.
Very, okay, yeah, opening. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Very long, but very good.
It's like the old Bond music. It feels like some good spy stuff in the beginning. He does his bank deal, shoots up the room. Then there's a sniper, like, takes out some other people.
A knife goes in the back of another person's head.
He takes the case of the money, skedaddles, goes back to MI6. Returns the money and is like, this is Mr. King. This is whose money you saved. Mr. King's like, you're really cool. Thanks for saving my money. And he goes, hey, no problem. Nice to meet you. And then
very jolly.
Realizes something's up with the money case, tries to stop it, but it's too late. The money explodes, killing Mr. King, blowing a hole in MI6.
Turns out, wild turn of events.
It was a setup from the beginning. Through the explosion hole in the building, there's got to be a better word for that. But
yep.
Bond looks out and sees a beautiful woman on a speedboat shooting a rifle at him, which we're back. This is a Bond movie.
Yep.
Like, it has to happen.
She was like in a full red suit.
It was amazing. She was also at the money deal in Bilbao. Bond gets in an experimental speedboat rocket powered jet ski situation that Q had built and just
to retire on.
Yeah, to retire on.
His retirement boat had four missiles, could go underwater.
A jet black rocket boat, which, amazing. We love Q.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots out. There's an amazing speedboat chase that ensues. At one point, he kickflips his boat and destroys the gun that the woman was using. He uses one of five guns that was on the boat. He uses Waze to find a better way.
Yup. Tracks her.
And this is in the middle of the Thames, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was sick to see them. Like, it looked all, like, on location and practical.
Definitely. And they were destroying shit right on the side of the river.
They do the race. They crash both their boats, and his attacker ends up escaping in a mode of transportation we've been waiting for since we started this series. A hot air balloon.
Yup.
Just the...
She takes it at gunpoint, too.
Grand Theft hot air balloon is in my notes. It's the funniest mode of transportation because you cannot steer it.
Mm-mm. And it moves just slow.
It just goes up.
Yep.
She
up and down.
Is immediately cornered by helicopters.
And James Bond's just holding on a rope.
Yeah. She blows herself up and he's like, I'll protect you. Please, like, you know, turn
Don't
yourself
blow
in.
Us up.
Don't blow us up. She goes, you can never protect me from him. We don't know who him is. This takes us to the title sequence. Alex, what do you think about the title sequence?
Title sequence, I thought was pretty sick. It starts after, you know, the air balloon explodes. He's falling. And then in the title sequence, he's falling in the beginning. And it feels very new, like Daniel Craig Bond title sequence. And
I think you like went to the bathroom halfway through the title sequence.
Oh, I had to go get the food.
You picked up the... Okay. First half, the title sequence,
mm-hmm.
killer. The yeah. second half, garbage. The second half
perfect.
Looked like one of those early, like I had a Mac desktop growing up.
Yeah.
And it looked like if you pop on iTunes, there was like a music visualizer app.
100%.
And it looked like the iTunes
like the neurons?
Music. Yes.
Okay.
It just looked like bad computer graphics circa 2000.
For sure.
Which is, I mean, this movie's 1999.
Very much
so right around
that.
The time, right up until then, it was sick. The theme song is by the band Garbage.
Yeah, we recognized it.
I think I might have played it for
that
you earlier
probably
on.
Is it? And also, I feel like a lot of them have pretty guessable.
I thought the theme song was good.
I thought so too.
I liked it. I thought it was like a B. It wasn't the
I
best?
I don't remember it too much.
Okay.
No. I mean, I remember it more than, like, From Russia with Love.
Yes. Well, wasn't that Three Blind Mice? No, that was Dr. No.
No, that one was sick.
I do remember that. So we get through the opening. James Bond has broken his collarbone from the fall he takes in the cold open. The cold open is like 15 minutes.
It's a lot.
He goes to like three separate locations.
He gets an assignment in the cold open.
In the middle of it. we were both like, is this going to have a theme song?
Like, they might just skip it.
Is this just starting? Then they're getting the briefings from M on their next mission. They're like, this guy was killed. Let's investigate his daughter. Let's figure out who tried to kill him. And they give the little like dossiers to everybody but him because his shoulder is so busted up. And
you can't be a spy.
You can't be a spy. Your shoulder's hurt.
Mm.
So he's sent to the doctor who he is immediately revealed to have had a romantic past with. And he's like,
actually,
you got to clear me for this mission. Is there anything I can do so that you can clear me for this mission? And then it's like seven back to back. Like doctor sex puns.
Yep.
And then they have sex.
Oh, by this point, M has announced that she was aware that the daughter of the guy that blew up was kidnapped. And that's what started this whole thing. And she let the girl get kidnapped and stay kidnapped as bait.
The man who blew up, his last name is King. I don't recall his first name.
Nope.
His daughter is Electra King.
Nah.
Killer name. Sick ass name. Sounds like a wrestler.
Yep.
Electra King. Was kidnapped, used her as bait. Then
terrible.
We find out she was kidnapped by a terrorist named Reynard, who has a bullet in his head from 009 that is slowly killing off all of his five senses. It's thankfully only gotten his sense of smell, taste, and touch.
And apparently he doesn't feel anything, like emotionally.
Yeah.
It might be separate.
It hasn't gotten his sight, hearing, or any of the like the really really important ones.
No, just the stuff that affects sex, which they really make clear when he is fucking no spoilers.
So Renard is the evil villain. He's fine.
Yeah,
he's not really doing too much for me in this movie.
I forgot about him almost every time
he just can't feel anything. So I mean, long story short, I'm going to blaze through the rest of this movie right now. Electra King is using her father's company. She wants to build an oil pipeline through Azerbaijan to bring oil from Turkey to the West. Or maybe it's to Turkey. She's trying, you know.
She's connecting from Turkey to Azerbaijan.
Yes. And it's the only real like oil pipeline competition of Russia at this
point. They have three pipelines to her one.
And so the West is really relying on her. And so they're giving her all this funding. She is doing this. Renard is trying to steal a nuke and blow up her oil pipeline, or so it seems. Everybody's trying to steal nukes in these movies. That's kind of the whole thing.
When he does it, somebody sees him stealing the nuke and he still continues to steal it in front of everybody and just hopes that they won't notice.
He steals it.
HC.
He's, which I didn't know it was this easy. None of the other villains thought of this. He's stealing a nuke from just like a nuke recycling plant.
Yep.
Like there's just a bunch of warheads out here in wherever they are. They're in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
They're just getting rid of a bunch of warheads with the help of Denise Richards, Dr. Christmas Jones, a nuclear physicist, of course. And she's deactivating all these warheads. And he's like, what if we just didn't deactivate this one? And instead, I took it home with me.
Literally. Me and my four friends.
It's my four friends who are all bald. They take it home. He steals the nuke. Turns out, twist, his previous captive, Electra King, has gotten Stockholm Syndrome, fallen in love with him, and is working as a double agent for him to steal these nukes and get them on a nuclear submarine. Do they say what he's going to do from there?
Take over the oil. Like, I thought that it was all about oil.
I mean, it was, but wouldn't he have just nuked the pipeline?
Yeah, I thought he was going to go to Russia or something, right?
I kind of got hate.
Actually, I don't know.
The end of this movie really lost me, if I'm being honest.
I never knew why he was doing it. I just knew that he was doing it.
At a certain point, a submarine just kind of showed up, and I was like, yeah, all right. He's going to steal a submarine. He's got a nuke. Whatever.
Yep. We knew that she was doing it so she could take over her family's rightful ownership of oil.
It's all about oil.
Yep.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Listen, I don't care.
No.
Is my biggest takeaway from this is like, here's some.
It ends with him winning. James Bond wins.
James Bond wins. Let's talk about highlights and lowlights. Because I think that's where the meat of our discussion should be with this movie. Because the plot was like, all right.
Yeah.
The twist. James Bond calls the twist halfway through the movie. And then we as an audience are like, maybe Bond's wrong about this. But Bond's never wrong.
He's like a little irate.
I wanted him to be wrong because I feel like he said some pretty problematic shit. And I was like, he was like, you were taken captive and thought your captor was too sexy because you're a woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, really? I would never do that. And then she, in fact, did do that.
Yeah.
Which is a big bummer to me. And yep. I was like, she's also very pretty. And so I wanted her to be a good person.
Yeah, I mean, you had already had a whole romantic moment between the two of them. They, like, played around with some ice in bed. It was a lot.
A lot of
they
ice
They talked
play.
About their, like, motivations in life and behind, like, what keeps them surviving. You really thought that they trauma bonded, and that's what James Bond thought.
Here's a highlight from me. It was this. We watch these movies with the subtitles on because we're raised in the internet age and thus are so attention deficit that we have to read stuff as we watch it. And my favorite subtitle of the movie was Parahawks Droning. It was just, you heard an ominous noise and the subtitle was Parahawks Droning. And I was like, what the hell is a parahawk? It turns out it is a snowmobile with a propeller on it that flies through the air with a parasail. There's a ski chase in this movie. As if every Roger Moore movie did not have three separate ski chases per movie.
Seriously, they really had to bring that one back.
Remember when there was that whole Roger Moore movie that was just the Winter Olympics?
It's like they can't go to Switzerland without doing it, and I just don't think that's the only thing you can do in Switzerland.
You could do more. We could try more.
Actually, I think they were skiing in Azerbaijan.
I think so. I think they were still in Azerbaijan. We didn't. This movie had the little pop-up lower third location cards, which I don't think we've had in a while.
Mm-mm.
Or ever, maybe. So that was a highlight for me. Another highlight for me, and this is kind of, it's a tragic highlight. This is Q's last movie.
Boom.
Desmond Llewellyn as Q passes away.
One of my top actors of 2022.
Talk about that for a second.
Letterboxd did give me a recap of my year, and apparently my most watched actors were Moneypenny and Q.
That's good. You're watching quality cinema. Desmond Llewellyn is your second highest watched actor.
He's ruined my life, but love him.
So he passes away this year, and they must have known he was going to die because they give him a farewell.
Unless he died. I think he died on set. Was it a Paul Walker situation?
Well, they wouldn't have been able to recreate him.
No, but more of just kind of like make it a little bit more like, bye.
But he
like voice
said,
over-wise.
He, like, on screen said a farewell, which makes me think that he was either retiring or was like, I only have a few months left. Let me just close out this character.
Yeah, probably the doctors were like, dude, you're going to die soon.
Dude, you're 900 years old. Your hands are bigger than your thoughts.
They probably had to wheel him on set. And they're like, yeah, can you just say goodbye on camera, please?
Do you remember what Q's last line was as he says farewell?
Escape.
He gives Bond two lessons that he always taught him. One of them is, his second one is always have an escape plan.
Mm-hmm.
His first one, never let them see you bleed. That's some gangster mentality.
He's like, you know, I always say that to you.
You know, I always say never let them see you bleed.
Naturally.
Always stay strapped and have an escape plan. But then I feel like they did him dirty by his last shot is him slowly just lowering into the ground.
And waving.
No, I thought he was just staring at the camera.
Away.
A Mandela effect. He was just slowly lowering, but the camera didn't move to follow him. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of slowly dropped out of eye line, like those improv things when you're acting like you're going down an elevator behind like a counter. And he just kind of disappears, but he's really physically close to James Bond. So he just kind of like rides his eye line just goes down James Bond's body.
And you just know he's downstairs.
That's true.
Like,
never let
like,
them see you bleed. Anyways, I'm going to the basement.
Like, he's still in the fucking building.
That was a highlight for me. I'm going to miss him. What about you?
Highlight for me are definitely like a lot of the side character ladies. Most of my notes are about the woman doing all of the shooting on the guns and doing all of the boat stunts, the boat scene.
The cold open woman.
Yes.
Okay.
That was so much fun.
It was fun. Did you take any notes after the first 15 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
But they're just less fun. We do have to talk about Denise Richards. She wasn't that great.
Nuclear scientist.
Mm-hmm. She plays Christmas Jones. Very entertaining. Very pretty. Not a great actress.
Okay. I have a hot take about that, actually. I think she is doing a spot on performance of, if you were to ask an average nuclear physicist to act, they would deliver the exact performance that Denise Richards did.
Fair.
There's just, she says everything so matter-of-factly without emotion.
Okay.
She's a great scientist. She shows up. She's like, yes, James, I am the scientist that you are looking for.
This man needs to be 63 years old. He's a fake.
I'm sure you get some of this working at a tech company. I get a lot of this of working with engineers specifically. They're if you ask them to speak publicly, they're going to give me that delivery. They're going to be super. They're going
to
say something that in their head, they're like, this is a joke that is going to kill right now. And I'm like, are you threatening my life? Like, the delivery is so deadpan. And I think in a weird roundabout way, Denise Richards is spot on.
Yeah, you know, I'll take that. She does dress like a librarian for most of it, but it is pretty fun. I'll also give, I need to shout out just the entirety of Elektra King's outfits. She's got this thing where apparently she forced her captor to take off part of her ear. And so because of that, she wears nothing but cuff earrings and they're all sick as hell. Very epic.
Was there something in her tragic backstory that led her to only wear silk robes? Because that was
constantly running room to room.
She is in very much in public acting like, oh, sorry, you walked in on me in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's just wrapping herself in this silk cloth and running around.
On her beautiful house on the river.
I thought she was great. I forget the actress's name, but I thought she was good. I've seen her in other stuff. She's French.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I have to shout out the Lord of the Rings set that appeared with the bad man. He suddenly appeared in these woods that are just covered in fire.
My note says, and meanwhile, in Lord of the Rings, it is the first time we're really introduced to Renard, the terrorist villain, on screen.
Oh, yeah.
It cuts to a guy that, like, looks like every other hench person. If you blink, you miss him.
It was the plainest group of men I've ever seen.
We cut from, like, a pretty exciting scene in Azerbaijan. Oh, with the Parahawks, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they go to visit Hagrid, Robbie Coltrane, in this film. And then James Bond and Elektra, they have fun. They're at a casino. It's, like, a very good James Bond scene. Hard cut, middle of the forest. Everything's on fire, but selectively. And it's just a bunch of boring-ass white guys.
So, so boring.
And then out from a mystical cave, a crack in the rock, comes this little freaky bald guy who bears an uncanny resemblance to Gollum.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can feel no pain. And this is a weird magical fireplace.
Let me just burn my hands over and over again.
Picks up some hot coals. Really tough. He feels nothing. Hands it to a guy. Burns the shit out of his hand.
Then shoots a different guy and then goes, take that guy's name back. End of sentence.
Man. All right. Let's talk about lowlights.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that the James Bond car was a BMW.
The one that lit up like a fucking video game and then like on the inside, like with the console.
His steering wheel, turned into an Xbox controller and then got cut in half.
Yeah, immediately by a tree-cutting helicopter.
I didn't like the tree-cutting helicopter. I think they thought it was a cool idea, but in execution...
Boring.
And it was all kind of silly. Mm-hmm. They would just cut buildings and cars in half.
Slowly.
It's very slowly.
And they did it twice. Like, we had two dedicated scenes to that.
Renard, the villain, was... I feel like they were trying to give a more grown-up villain to the franchise, but they didn't.
Yeah. He wasn't compelling enough. He didn't have, like, a real... I didn't get his backstory motivating him on any of the stuff he was doing.
I think it was like he wasn't charming enough or he wasn't scary enough.
Yeah.
Like he was batting it like a 7 out of 10 on both, which is maybe less, like 5 out of 10. He was like, yeah, fine. He's just a little bald man.
Yep.
So I'm not very afraid of him.
They weren't scary. Like, M was kidnapped. We didn't even mention it. She was kidnapped for a solid 30 minutes of the movie, and I was not concerned for her safety.
No, not especially.
No. She got blankets.
That's every scene they cut back to M in her jail cell. She is wearing more blankets.
Mm-hmm.
They cut back to her. They show her the first scene. She's just wearing her pantsuit. Next scene, she has a shawl. Next scene, full-on blanket burrito. It's amazing.
Keeping her safe.
I guarantee that was a Judi Dench thing.
Yeah.
She
got cold on set. She could not have that.
It's Dame Judi Dench. You give her blankets if mm-hmm. she asks for blankets.
You know, general lowlight, the plot. Another lowlight being, yes, Denise Richards did her best as Christmas, but wasn't that great of a Bond girl, especially going off of the last movie.
We gave it a nine,
just dedicated pretty much to the Bond girl and all the side characters. And it's just boring this time.
There was no stunt in this movie that I was like, besides kickflipping the boat in the cold open. The cold open, if they would have kept that movie for the rest of the movie, mm-hmm. I would have been. It feels like there was like a writer strike in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, they built up so much hype around Renard with, you can't protect me from him, you know? Who's this scary person? I expected to be someone really intense.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we've seen people like go through like meat grinders. I don't know.
Timothy Donald set the bar high. Remember that? The fool Santos, I think was his name.
Mm-hmm.
The drug dealer who just straight up killed everybody for off the rip.
Well, we also just had we had people being fed to like sharks and shit.
Mm-hmm.
This guy just was hanging out with a couple other boys and just like really wanted to date Elektra real bad.
Or, I mean, go back to the last movie. The villain was great because he was smart.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't especially tough, but he mm-hmm. was really charming and he had a smart plan and he was charismatic. I did like, there was a lot of classic Bond like theme
mm-hmm.
songs in this. Like they would throw like Bond stings over different things. I thought that was kind of fun.
Sure.
I wrote, M has more and more blankets every time we see her. I did really like that.
Yep.
But, I mean, I didn't need a ski chase. There was just no standout moment from this movie that I'm like, oh, The World Is Not Enough is the movie where blank mm-hmm. happens. Goldfinger has the crotch laser, you know? And that's the only movie
exactly.
that matters. No, but if we go through the list of every movie we have seen, I bet you I could tell you the stunt. Goldeneye, there's that crazy ass fight on the radar telescope. Tomorrow
True.
Never Dies. Michelle Yeoh and James Bond have that tandem motorcycle chase through like Hong Kong.
Yes.
Living Daylights has the oil tanker chase. That lasts for 45 minutes.
Yep.
A View to a Kill has a knife fight, or like a fight with an axe on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
Octopussy has a bunch of knife throwers. For Your Eyes Only, I'll be honest.
Oh my God, he dropped someone down a chimney in the beginning of that movie.
There you go. Moonraker goes to goddamn space. Like, that's just, there has to be a moment in mm-hmm. each Bond movie. Like, what? I wonder what the trailer for this movie was.
It has to be everything from the open.
I think it was the open, and I think they thought the saw,
yeah.
the saw cutting through the BMW was like the thing.
And probably the whole ski chase part with the guys coming down with the, what was it called?
The Parahawks?
Yeah, the Parahawks.
Parahawks
droning.
That was droning.
Probably supposed to be a bigger moment
it's
than
just,
it was.
It's not quite.
It. Yeah, but it was, I mean, I thought they were really going to be, they were just killing people off in the beginning. We watched a girl blow herself up in the first 15 minutes.
True.
I thought it was going to be a harder movie than that.
What, I mean, we talked about what we didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
What is a character from this movie that you're like, tell me more about this person. I want to see a spinoff focusing on this person.
I'm going to give it, I have to give it to Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like we could have a very, she was giving Tomb Raider energy in the beginning. I feel like we'd get a really good backstory on her. What?
I think it's solely based on outfit, the Tomb Raider thing.
Yeah.
And she climbed a ladder.
Yeah. But she was also in a warm area with a lot of dust.
Yeah, that's 100% it. John Cleese shows up in this movie, Monty Python
mm-hmm.
character actor as R.
As a Q replacement.
Q replacement, which is heartbreaking. He's not as funny as I need him to be. So he's actually not going to be my person. My person is going to be the new Moneypenny. She was in the last
one,
the last two. The tension with her is insane.
She got a haircut, a nice pixie cut this movie.
She is, my note is, she is so sensual, I'm dying. Mm. He delivers her a cigar, and she's like, I know where to put this. And he's like, oh, and she throws it in the trash. It's hot. I need, I just need that. I think that actress is Samantha Bond, which is funny that her last name is Bond.
That's really epic, honestly.
I need to see a lot more of her.
Definitely.
So I'm going to say spin. I mean, I think I've
that's
said
that
before.
That's a good choice.
It's the Moneypenny spinoff.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
What's she up to?
Mm-hmm.
What's your Bond moment?
Well, definitely thinking about that moment in the beginning with the close, like our relationship is close, but no cigar, when James Bond,
the Moneypenny flirting,
throws away.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I'd also have to give it to the classic. There's a line in the end of this film with Christmas. They are having their ending sex moment, not on a boat, boring.
Near the ocean.
It was near the ocean. That's not hard to do. They were by rivers this whole film. Anyways. Sure. He says, you lied to me. I thought Christmas only came once a year. And
someone get her a towel. It's Come On, Eileen. It was that was very good. Someone we haven't talked about, this is not a Bond moment, but just Electra King's bodyguard has the freshest style of anybody who's ever lived. He is just
He's wearing a yellow shirt with like a lot of straps, and it's pretty nice.
He's wearing the suit that P. Diddy wore to the Source Awards in 98.
Whoa.
Like, he is wearing the most insane stuff, and he has the exact same haircut Colin Farrell when he was getting ready for Alexander. Also, mutton chop, pointy sideburns. He looks like a vampire. He's bananas. My favorite Bond moment was Welcome to My Nuclear Family. That was the worst one, honestly.
No, that was good. It wasn't said by Bond.
Renard is about to blow up the nuclear submarine. He says, welcome to my nuclear family. Oh, no, the best Bond moment, and this is something that isn't resolved in the movie, but, and I'm curious why they didn't resolve it. So he has had this relationship with Electra King throughout the movie. She turns into a traitor. She's trying to, like, murder him in this sex chair at one point. She's like, she's irredeemable, it would seem. And this, in an older Bond movie, Bond would like probably try to charm her back to being a good person. In this movie, he just glocks her. She's like, you wouldn't kill me, you love me. And he shoots her in the chest and he goes, I never miss. Which is, that's hardcore.
And then he stands over her dead body.
And then he stands over her dead body. The thing they didn't resolve is M runs up the stairs behind him and is horrified. Judi Dench is like, oh my God, you're a monster. And they never address that.
Nope.
They do the end. She sees him having sex. She's like, oh, Bond, you silly goose. But she's like, I watched him murder someone he had a relationship with in cold blood. I had a relationship with.
I thought she felt bad for him in the end.
That was crazy.
Because then she saw him feel like remorse over her dead body.
I want the next movie to be about, like, M calling him into her office, and she's like, hey, man, I think you need to take a break.
Doesn't she have that energy with him in the Daniel Craig movies?
She does.
Maybe this starts that kind of mentality.
Of, like, maybe all this killing is bad for your mental
health.
The
license to kill might be kind
of freaky.
Might
be actually toxic. You did mention a good one, though.
Yeah, before we went on our little break here, you did mention that the title of this movie was mentioned as a family motto. And they do talk about it, that in this movie. He says that,
Electra says, I could have given you the world. And he says, the world is not enough. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's a cheeky thing to say. And he goes, that's a family motto.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. We'll get into more of that in the Daniel Craig movies.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Any stray observations? Is there anything we missed?
I feel like the only thing I do want to mention is this is our third movie with Pierce Brosnan. The second one where we've seen him fuck somebody who's in charge of bringing him back to work.
That is fascinating. That's interesting. That's his sex and boats.
How can I get back to my job?
real capitalists. There's a dot-com boom. I don't know. There's something there. Alex, out of 10, what would you rate this movie?
I give this movie a 4.
You know, it's so funny.
Mm.
I am also going to give it a 4.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, it is, if we're being honest with ourselves and 5 is the average, this is just a little bit below average.
Yep.
I would not rewatch this film.
Ever.
I have no desire.
Is this our lowest ranked movie?
That we still have the rating of, I believe. We lost the rating to...
Man with a Golden Gun?
No, I like that one. We lost the rating to On Her Majesty's Secret Service, the George Lazenby movie.
That one we probably gave...
We gave that like a 3.
Yeah.
That was not good. But that is The World Is Not Enough, 1999. We're breaking into the new millennium and saying goodbye to our friend Pierce Brosnan, who looked pretty sweet in this movie, I will say.
Yeah, he was looking pretty hot.
He's looking good.
Highlight. His glasses moment in the beginning.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? We're saying goodbye to Pierce Brosnan in 2002's Die Another Day, but we're going to watch that movie another day. That's it for Shaken and Stirred this week.
Kisses.